The last financial crisis produced a kind of Superfund toxic site. The cleanup is expensive and is taking years, some more billions, to talk about this morning. From Marketplace in New York, I'm David Brancaccio. Two big European banks have agreed to pay a combined $12 billion stemming from their role in allegedly foisting doomed debt on others during the great mortgage crisis 8 years ago. BBC business reporter Russell Padmore is following this.
Deutsche Bank, the German financial giant, fined $7.2 billion agreeing to settle that. And the Swiss banking group Credit Suisse has been settling with the regulators. $5.3 billion Credit Suisse will pay.
Now, this is the continuing effects of the great mortgage meltdown of 2008-2009 coming back from the dead.
From the Credit Suisse perspective, it eliminates any uncertainty about the future of the bank. From Deutsche Bank's perspective, this is a European banking giant. The original amount of money that the regulators in the US wanted was $14 billion. So paying a lot less than that means that the German banking giant will not have to raise fresh capital, which had been the real fear. So it's good news from the German bank's perspective. But ultimately, the aftermath of the financial crisis has not gone away, David.
But still some uncertainty involving Barclays Bank. The U.S. Department of Justice sued Barclays yesterday.
Barclays is going to fight on. It believes it will win some ground off the regulators. I should say that Barclays isn't the only one. We have other banks under investigation here in Europe, UBS of Switzerland, HSBC, and Royal Bank of Scotland. The fight to get money out of these banks accused of wrongdoing goes on.
BBC business reporter Russell Padmore. Thank you.
David, thanks.
Markets, stock index futures in the U.S. are hardly changed, with people apparently fleeing for the holidays. The FTSE in London is down 0.1%. Immigrants who need to file one of the government forms required to work or to get a travel document or for an immigrant investor visa all are facing higher costs as of today. Fees charged by the U.S. Citizenship and Immigration Service are going up. From our bureau at Oregon Public Broadcasting, Mitchell Hartman reports.
With the fee hikes, the naturalization application will now cost $640, an increase of $45. The immigrant petition by alien entrepreneur to come live and invest in the U.S. will double to more than $3,600. There are some waivers and reduced fees available, but Thomas Sines of the Mexican-American Legal Defense Fund says that's not enough to help many immigrants.
So increasing the fee is going to have an effect in deterring or preventing a number of folks who would like to become U.S. citizens.
The government cites rising costs for fraud detection, national security, and customer service for the increases, which average 21%. Tamar Jacoby runs Immigration Works USA, representing businesses, and she says there's a joke among agricultural employers.
You need to hire a lawyer in order to hire a farm worker. The government processing should be less bureaucratic.
Jacoby says cutting red tape could keep costs from going up even more. I'm Mitchell Hartman for Marketplace.
Marketplace is a nonprofit service supported by you, the people we serve each and every day with news about money, jobs, innovation in all of their forms. I'm here to ask if you could make a tax-deductible gift to Marketplace today, if you could donate at marketplace.org by December 31st. The book by a hippie doctor on the team that ended smallpox in India, another from the Oscar Mayer heir who gave away his inheritance as a young man. Today, our last gift package for you is a new book that systematically argues that rest, zoning out, chilling, napping, going for a run, taking a sabbatical, is where creativity comes from. Alex Pang is visiting scholar at Stanford. The book is called Rest, Why You Get More Done When You Work Less. Dr. Pang, thanks for joining us.
Thank you, David.
Your thesis, part of it, is that zoning out is actually productive. How so?
Well, the right kind of zoning out is productive. So what I found when I got into the literature in neuroscience and the psychology of creativity and looking actually at the biographies of Beethoven or Stephen King was that they learn to practice what I call deliberate rest, which is resting in ways that allow their creative subconscious to keep working on problems even after they've put down their pencils and started going for a walk or going for a swim. And it turns out that this ability to pass ideas between your conscious, focused mind and your unconscious is something that people can cultivate, they can develop, they can get better at.
I was interested. I mean, there's some scientific data here that you marshal to make this argument. When you stick people's heads in an MRI scanner and they're just kind of spacing out, their brain is not completely asleep.
When you unfocus your mind and you seem to zone out, you think your brain is shutting down, but actually there's a lot of stuff going on. It's what neuroscientists call the default mode network. The parts of the brain that are sort of talking to each other tends to be a set of connections that is a little more unfiltered. It's processing ideas. It's sort of considering things that your conscious mind would say, oh, that's kind of stupid, and allows you to have those aha moments or sudden insights that creative people prize.
Overall, you're finding some companies, some managers are embracing this? Some would actually accept the fact that you're sitting there daydreaming or you want to take a little extra vacation?
There's a company called Tower Paddleboards in Southern California that's famous for implementing a 5-hour workday without losing productivity and actually becoming more profitable. I think it's very encouraging that there are companies here in Silicon Valley that are run by people who are, you know, veterans of Facebook or Apple or Google or, you know, famously hard-charging companies that reward and expect long hours, who've said, you know, some of this overwork is just bad planning and bad management, and we're actually going to get better products and better code and keep our people if we don't force them into these endless cycles of overwork.
Alex Soojung Kim Pong is a visiting scholar at Stanford. His book is called Rest, Why You Get More Done When You Work Less. Dr. Pong, thank you.
Oh, thank you, David.
The interviews connected to all three of these books that I found enlightening and uplifting during these short, dark days are at marketplace.org. I want to thank my senior producer, Nicole Childers, our digital producer, Janet Wynn, and Stephanie Hughes, who produces Marketplace Tech. I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.